Mixing bleach and ammonia.
That didn't work out so well.
All right, so we are going to be doing, we haven't done one of these in a long time, but mixing bleach and ammonia, but we're going to be talking about Tough Turf from 1985. That's our turf, that's our bleach. And then our Hugo Pool from 1997, which is our ammonia. Mm-hmm. Our tying link between both of them is Robert Downey Jr. Basically, his first kind of real, he did things, but this Tough Turf was kind of like a big boost for him. And then Hugo Pool is at the point when he was like at one of his lowest points. So,
surf and turf, like the
surf so Hugo, and turf. He, yeah, surf and turf. So Hugo Pool,
surf because of pool,
yeah,
turf because of tough.
Absolutely,
it's our surf and turf part.
Rodney, what is the basic story for Hugo Pool?
Well,
what you remember?
You think it's a noir movie?
Actually, wait, no, you know what? You just watched it recently, Randall. Mm-hmm. I like what you're going with it, but I'll let Randall go with that because he didn't watch Tough
Turf. Go, Randall.
I feel like it was a hodgepodge movie of just a lot of different characters put together, but pretty much it was like a funnest kind of love story, but kind of not really love story.
What did you expect as it was going on, like as it was happening? What was your vibe on it? What did you think?
I thought, so when I was watching it, I thought that it was going to be, because it's a lot, because this movie went a lot, especially with the
Alyssa Milano.
Alyssa Milano.
Yeah, but what's the older character with the puppet?
Oh, that's Roddy Malcolm McDowell.
Malcolm McDowell.
I forgot about him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, so like I thought this was gonna be like some kind of like, oh, we're going to on a journey kind of episode, and a lot of different weird things are gonna happen, and we're gonna find this, and then this happens, but then it was just like, it was trying to be that, then it wasn't. I don't know. I was confused.
Okay, so we originally picked up on this like a long time ago. We had like on a to-do list, mm-hmm. Hugo Pool, because we were looking up stuff with Robert Downey Jr. and stuff, and we found out his father directed this movie. And this is like one of his last ones. But he was very famous in the 60s as a countercultural director. Like, he did this movie called Putney Swope, mm-hmm. which was kind of like, it sounds to me like, remember that movie... With the guy who played Arthur. God, his name is escaping me now. But it was basically like playing on the idea of like advertising agencies or something. The poster's like somebody holding up their middle finger, and it's a person like standing there as the middle finger. Okay. So it was like a very countercultural thing. Then he did this movie Pound, where it was like all these adults and people are playing animals like in a dog pound. Robert Downey Jr.'s earliest role, I think he was like 5 or 6 years old in that, playing like a puppy. But they're all humans playing in a pot. So he did like all these things. And there's stories that I was reading about like growing up where Robert Downey Sr. was like, basically they would have feast or famine. If a movie was successful, they were living great. If they weren't, they were down and downtrodden. And he was basically giving drugs to Robert Downey Jr. as like a little kid, 6 years old, like giving him weed and stuff. He's like, Robert Downey Jr. said, yeah, there was coke. And he said he felt that was the way he bonded with his father, was withdraw. That was like the only time they could communicate, because his dad was such a mess.
Damn.
So come around time, and like his father and mother like split at a certain point, and he went to his dad stayed in LA and his mom moved to New York. So Robert Downey Jr. went with her because she needed him more, is what he said. And then he kind of got into like acting schools and classes and doing stuff on, you know, doing plays and stuff. And then he was like, okay, I'm going to go back to California. So when Tough Turf comes out, he's like 20 years old.
Okay.
And it's like maybe the third or fourth actual film, but it's one of his like more major roles. And in Tough Turf, Rodney, what's Tough Turf basically about?
So it's actually got my boy in here. I didn't realize it was him at the time when I was younger watching, but he's Blacklist. I liked Blacklist a lot. But
Red Reddington, James Spader.
James Spader, and also Ultron.
Mm-hmm.
So James Spader is the main guy from the story. He's a new guy in town. It's very Karate Kid without learning Karate Kid.
Or Rebel Without a Cause.
Rebel Without a Cause.
It's really what it's more so, but yes.
New kid from out of town, gets bullied. The bully's girlfriend likes him. It's exactly like Karate Kid and all these other movies.
I didn't pick up even more so that it's Karate Kid without karate. Yeah. Well, I mean, there's... It's bizarre, but yeah, can't care. It's because it's...
His buddies, they bully him.
Karate Kid was 84? I don't know. Echo. What year did The Karate Kid come out?
The film The Karate
Karate Kid was released in 1984.
Okay.
Nice job,
so
Sean.
It's a year before this.
Oh,
okay. This came out in 85. So they're probably currently filming at the same time is what my guess
is. I just thought Bully movies were very popular in the
80s. Yeah, they were.
I was like, damn, Bully movies was really popular. As I'm watching
it. That the Karate Kid just came out.
Yeah. So he...
Mr. Miyagi.
Yeah, that's it. It's wild.
What's wild for Tough Turf is, there. You know, you hear... I always remembered hearing and seeing the old poster, like, in school. Yeah. Like, it looks like it's just going to be this huge punk dystopian, scary California,
like The Class of 1984.
Yeah, yeah, like, yes. Yeah, those old trauma movies and stuff.
Yes.
And I remember watching that. I watched this one a couple years ago, and I was like, I'll finally check out Tough Turf, T-U-F-F Turf, you know? Right. I got to see it. And I'm like, it's so fucking goofy for most of it.
It is. It's
the
not
gang,
like,
the gang leader guy is not that scary.
No, he's not.
The opening scene is they're using Kim Richards, who I had a huge crush on. Like, whenever I see her, she was in something else we did not that long ago. I don't remember.
That's the girlfriend?
The girlfriend.
Okay.
She was in Meatballs too, remember?
They made you wait to the whole movie to see her low nipples.
It wasn't her, really. It was a body double.
Oh, yeah, it didn't show it.
But
what dude did they use for her body double?
Probably the same person that did the dancing for her. Somebody else definitely doing the dancing. But Kim Richards is like the she's also in like America or the House, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, like later in life and stuff. But anyway, though, James Spader's character moves to Reseda, California, from Connecticut, and they're a well-to-do family. And the older brother does, you know, he's going to law school and all this stuff. He's like always getting in trouble and shit because he's got like his own personality. His dad lost his business, but now his dad's a taxi driver in California.
Mm-hmm.
The mom's like kind of just supposed to be a little bit snooty and doesn't understand him and stuff. So he goes to school. And again, you're supposed to be seeing like Tough Turf. Like it's supposed to feel like, I think, New York. Like I was afraid to go to New York my whole life because of all the movies through the 80s showing how scary New York was.
It was.
And then when I finally went, I'm like, this is not that scary. I mean, again, it was after all they did all their gentrification shit and cleaned up Times Square, but that's neither here nor there. So he's the very opening. You're seeing him riding his bike at night. Do you remember this, Rodney?
Yeah.
James Spader's riding his bike at night. Then you're seeing Kim Richards is standing outside of like some like bar, talking to like an old dude. Like he's kind of there waiting for a bus, and she keeps looking at him, and she's like, "Oh, do you got change for this?" And then all her boyfriend and all the gang, the Tough Turf guys, are like across the street at a newsstand. They're like looking like, "Oh, we're gonna go rob this guy." So then they come across the street finally to rob the guy. James Spader happens to ride through, grabs a beer can from one girl, throws it in one of their faces, kicks another dude. Like, he's just randomly going through causing chaos for these guys.
I think
to
I
rob
saw
this
Tough
guy.
Turf at the movies. I think my mom took me to
No way.
I'm not kidding you.
85?
I'm pretty sure. How old would I have been? 7? 8?
Okay.
I'm pretty sure I saw Tough Turf at the movies.
That's possible.
Because I don't remember James Spader. I didn't know him well then. I remember just being some blonde maid actor.
Yeah.
I remember coming home wanting his gym shoes from the movie.
Oh.
8, 9, something like that. I can't remember. And maybe not in the movies, maybe. I don't know. I remember seeing it as a very, very young.
Okay.
And
I mean, it could have been a VHS. This is in VHS.
I might have saw it on VHS at my aunt's house, something like that. But
so one of the guys grabs an old antenna off the car and uses like a sword and cuts like the back of his coat or whatever. Yeah. And he rides off. So they're like, oh, fuck that guy. He ruined our robbery, which is in broad day, like not in broad daylight, but like people are in the bar that are going to see this shit.
Robert Downey Jr. goes and steals the guy's car. They start driving around town.
Yeah, it's
you know what's funny?
So Robert Downey Jr. befriends him, and he's just like some other, like, and he's
just hangs out with him.
High as shit.
Through the whole movie, the whole thing. Here's the thing. So Robert Downey Jr. steers the car, picks him up in the car.
Yes, tries to hit him.
So and he goes to picks him up in the car. These windows are not tinted, okay? They Jade Spader and Robert Downey Jr. pull up to the girls to pick the girls up, and the girls walk all the way up on the car. Door opens and I go, oh, it's you, bitch. The windows aren't tinted. You didn't know what was there.
I still don't know how he got it. So it's basically the bad guys at the point when they're like battling each other. They go to this nightclub where the Jim Carroll band is playing. Who's the guy who wrote Basketball Diaries? And he had like a punk band, People Who Are Dead, or I think it's the song. I can't remember the song exactly, but People Who Died is one of his like famous songs. You might have heard it, but it's in like a lot of movies. I think it was even an E.T. to be honest. But anyway, so they're like in this warehouse club seeing this stuff. And he gets into this dance routine with her. So this movie is basically made by a bunch of old men who are trying to speak to the youth culture. This is early MTV. So they're trying to make an MTV movie for kids, like to get them. Because they're all just going, hey, I'll spend $1 million to try to make $5 million, you know. And it bleeds with this through the whole movie where it's like they don't understand youth culture at all.
You know,
but it's goofy because it's all these young actors. You know, your James Spader, your Kim Richards, your Robert Downey Jr., who's playing this drummer in the band. He's thinking he's going to get all the girls, and none of the girls like him except for the one girl that liked him is Vidal Sassoon's daughter in real life.
Oh.
So it's like this whole like little weird subculture of people getting involved in, you know, Hollywood upstarts and stuff. And it's just a very simple story of he's the rebel without a cause. He likes the girl that's the bad guy's girl that he considers her his turf. All his cronies are giving him hell. And it just keeps being this goofy thing where they take his bike. That whole scene when they're riding the cars around the bike.
Yeah.
It's like intense because it looks so dangerous because it's the actual actors riding their bikes.
And Sean watching these movies and pointing out all these dangerous things. Oh, what is going on with you, Sean?
Oh, I guess I'm getting old.
What is going on? This looks dangerous. What is going on with you in these movies?
That's a good point that I did bring up again, that it was bothering me. But it's the same thing I get mad in movies when they drive, like the heroes are driving a car and they go onto the street or onto the sidewalk and people are diving out of the way. I'm like, how many people are these? These are the good guys. Like, I just get conscious of that, I guess. But anyway, so they're like kind of fuck. He fucks with them, the robbery. They fuck with him and break his bike. Then he's going after the girl at this nightclub. He's doing this dance routine with her at the bar, which it's like a complete, like, this is a couple years before Dirty Dancing. So there's something in the culture where it's getting, again, it's, I think it's all MTV kind of like getting there. And then he likes her for whatever reason. The boyfriend's getting mad. It gets to the point ultimately where he tries to kill his dad.
Yeah.
Because he convinces her to go on a date and come to her house. The bad guy, like Kim Richards' boyfriend, like wants to propose to her.
Yeah.
And doesn't get her a ring or anything, but he's like trying to get the dad on the side.
Where should she get rings from? Her friends are giving her like
Woolworth. Like, Woolworth. Go to Woolworth.
Get good some good rings there. Yeah.
It was just weird.
They very have this like Cindy Lauper-ish look to them.
Yeah. And it's also like a little bit Ferris Bueller. Like he's taking them into like a fancy. What's weird is when I watched this, there are certain scenes in this movie that got glued into my head that I was like, when I was watching, I go, oh, that was this movie.
Yeah, like him riding around on the bike and doing the kick thing, whatever. It was this movie, like the spray painting on, or the paint to the face. Was that this movie?
Yeah, the paint to the face. Break his bike.
I couldn't remember where that was from because the blood, my memory couldn't like figure out if it was paint to the face or blood or.
But then they go to like a country club and they just go, oh, it's this certain day that all the young kids go in and then they're like scamming them for food.
Which is probably Robert Downey Jr.'s best part in the whole movie is going around pretending like to be certain things that he's being in that movie.
Yep. And then, you know, and that's how he's getting her to fall in love with him. And the whole time I just kept going, if not modern audiences made this movie where this preppy kid from East Coast is picking up this, you know, downtrodden girl whose mother passed away. So she's kind of a lost cause in a certain regard. Like he'd be luring her in just to beat the guy and then kind of dump her because they're not going to mesh. But this movie made it like, nope, they're meant to be together. And then after he takes her to her, James Spader takes Kim Richards to his family's house and she meets his parents and the mom's kind of accidentally rude and goes, oh, you know, your mother can come with us and go see these flowers at this place. And she accidentally spills a drink. And then James Spader gets mad at his mom, like her mom's dead. And she's like, well, how would I supposed to know? Yeah. But the dad's cool about it. So then the dad's a taxi driver. So the bad guy boyfriend's driving around town trying to find him to confront him. And then he ends up shooting him, almost killing him.
Yeah.
Because I kept going, as the movie kept happening, I'm going, I think James Spader kills this guy at the end. And I'm like, none of this stuff is bad enough. And then when that happened, I go, oh yeah, this comes out of left field. Again, a lot of cocaine in the 80s. There's a lot of jumps in logic. And again, they're trying to make a dangerous movie for the kids at the time. And so the dad survives. He's in the hospital. They make a point. Remember, Kim Richards at some point makes a point to say to the bad guy boyfriend before he proposes to her, like, no, I told you, I'll tell you when. Like they basically like say she's a virgin without saying she's a virgin.
Yeah.
So then like when he finally James Spader has sex with her after his dad almost dies and he takes her back to his house, he's like, then he has sex with her. And so now she's going to be with James Spader. It's goofy. It's a goofy movie. And then, Robert Downey Jr.'s character, who's credited in this only as Robert Downey.
Oh, I did not know that.
He gets a knife, a switchblade from somebody and gives it to him later, remember?
He never calls him his name in the movie?
No. In real life, like, and he's credited as Robert Downey.
Oh, okay, all right.
Not Junior.
No.
Okay, all right.
And then he goes to this big warehouse showdown's going to happen where the bad guy's got the girl there. All of his cronies are in this warehouse where the music scene was. And so somehow James Spader sneaks in and starts taking them out one by one, drops like a giant sign on two of them, swings down ropes. It's just it's 80s goofiness with weapons and violence.
What?
Yeah.
I have to watch this.
Yeah. Robert Downey Jr. ends up showing up later with like his friends, like, not what are they called? Dachshunds? No, not Dachshunds. What are those called? Those dogs?
Doberman Pinschers?
Doberman Pinschers. Thank you. Pinschers. Oh my. How'd you know? You read my mind. Doberman Pinschers go in there and like attack the bad guys. And then basically James Spader ends up winning by knocking the guy off a ledge and he falls to the ground and dies. It's goofy. It's a great goofy 80s movie.
Does he have the same monologues he has now?
He has a couple. There's a couple like philosophical lines in this that I recorded. So let me see the two lines that James Spader says, or his dad says one. So this is one of the lines that. Oh, wait, where is it? Okay, this is.
Look, son, life isn't a problem to be solved. It's a mystery to be lived.
So that was one of the poignant thoughts. And then this is the line he says to her.
I don't think you can hold on to anything until you let it go.
And then that's when he bangs her.
But
yeah, it's a fun movie, but it's for the Robert Downey Jr. aspect of it, just seeing very, very young Robert Downey Jr. Yeah. being this goofy clown, barely showing up. Like, it's legit like his fourth movie. And this is what kind of got him into the pickup artist and where he kind of started becoming, they consider him part of the Brat Pack, even though he technically wasn't with those people.
He wasn't, yeah.
But he did a lot of movies with those people. So now we cut back to our Hugo Poole. Right. So Hugo Poole was written by Senior, and then his wife at the time co-wrote it with him. His wife had ALS in real life.
Yep.
And Laura Ernst is her name, Laura Downey. She is only 8 years older than Robert Downey Jr. So she was born in 57. So if this came out in 97, she was like 40. But actually, I think, no, she passed away a couple years before this movie finished getting made.
Oh, wow.
So she married Robert Downey Sr. when she was 31 years old and passed away 4 years later, but co-wrote this movie with him.
So she was Robert Downey Jr.'s stepmom.
Pretty much, but she was only eight years older than him. And Robert Downey Sr. was born in 36, so he was like 21 years older. So he was like 54, found some young 31-year-old that had ALS and then like married her and made this script or whatever. But I think that was one of the better things of Hugo Poole. So when it started, me and Rodney didn't know what we were walking into. We were like, oh, it's Alyssa Milano's junior's in it.
The way it starts off with like her taking the pills and
Because she has, or she was taking the shot. Yep. Because she had diabetes.
I know it's for diabetes. I thought some druggy shit.
She finds her dad, Malcolm McDowell's character, like passed out in the back of the pool shop. She's getting up early. It's like a day in the life of a pool cleaner.
Yep.
Her name is Hugo Duguay. And we kept thinking like she's getting a call from Richard Lewis, RIP Richard Lewis, which also times for this now.
Yeah.
But he's like calling like, I know there's a drought.
He's some mafia type guy.
Yeah, Chicolani. She's like, you got to give me some water. How are you going to do it? So she's using her dad to track down somebody.
Paying like $15,000 or whatever.
Sean Penn shows up. Now, he's got these shoes that Malcolm McDowell keeps talking about. What is it? The Fing Fang Foom? It's something like that. What does he keep calling it? The Ring Ding Dong?
I think it was wasn't it?
It's something goofy like that, but it's basically like he's battling his addictions.
Yep.
His heroin addictions, which is a lot of this felt like Robert Downey Sr. Life. Putting all of his demons, right?
Demons out, yeah.
So he's got his son, who Robert Downey Jr. at this point in time was
himself,
and very high as shit and sick. Like he looked sickly, but he was hyper and great. He played this like foreign. He played almost like a what's the one director? Werner Herzog.
I thought he was trying to make fun of his father, though.
No, because he's playing like a foreign film.
I mean, he's playing foreign, but like the actions and stuff.
He might have been. It might have been a little bit dick because they let.
Yeah, because I don't know where he was going with that. We talked about.
But remember he was burning his house down because he owed her money for cleaning pools for a couple years.
Right.
And he's like, my last film was a flop, but I burnt my house down, so I'll get the insurance money and I'll pay you. But I'll come along with you and clean. And he's weird. Oh, this is another Patrick Dempsey movie.
Oh, he's in here. That's right.
Yeah, that's right. He's playing the guy with ALS in a wheelchair who has way advanced technology because he's barely moving.
I thought it was just me, okay? Because I was like, wait a minute. I mean, he was like, I'm like, whoa, what?
Typing fast as fuck or whatever.
Right, I was like, whoa.
And having full, complete thoughts. It's not like he's just hitting 12 words to make sentences. It's like he's typing full complete
thoughts. This fucking guy typed shorthand or something.
And then like, then it was like, hey, you know, you made us some money off of these races. Why don't you come and do all our jobs with us? What?
Well, yeah. So Kathy Moriarty plays. So
why do you think something's going to take a downspin?
Yeah, we kept. Yeah, we were. Yeah, me and Ronnie were very afraid this was going to be like a Tarantino-esque 1997 following Pulp Fiction.
That's the
some dark thing was going to happen because you got this gangster who wants his water.
Yeah.
So she's sending him. She's sending her never-do-well father to go get water with this truck. Yeah. And then this Sean Penn character. Okay, so Rodney, I told you. I thought,
what's his name? Was his, like, secret?
Do you know what Sean Penn played in this with the shoes? Because he was obsessed with his shoes. Remember, Malcolm McDowell was obsessed with getting Sean Penn's shoes. Yeah, do you know what Sean Penn was supposed to be in this movie? What he represented?
No.
Do you have no theory?
Like imaginary friend or some shit, wasn't he?
He was a leprechaun.
Right! He was a leprechaun! Oh, I was going to talk about that.
That's why he had magical shoes?
Uh-huh.
You looked that up? And,
yep.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, we didn't pick that up.
But it was out of McDowell's imagination, though.
He was like there, but not there, right? Okay. And then you find out
McDowell,
that Malcolm. Listen, yeah, go ahead.
Hello.
the
fucking puppet. I couldn't handle the puppet the whole movie.
But then again, that's Robert Downey Sr. dealing with his addiction. So he has this puppet that he's like, oh, he's got the urge. He's got to get his drugs. But he injects the drugs into the puppet, not himself. So he can kind of exercise that demon.
Oh.
And then also that's where, like, again, the father-son relationship, all the stuff going on here, there's a lot of, I think he feels guilty for Junior's life. He has said, you know, before he passed, that he's like, he goes, I wish I didn't give all the drugs to Robert Downey because he always had those demons that he had to battle. Mm-hmm. And then you get, Alyssa Milano's got her mom with her, who's a gambler.
Yep.
And she's like, convinced that there's like a horse race that she's gonna win. So when she meets Patrick Dempsey in his wheelchair and his ALS with his handler,
his handler was his boyfriend. So just
and he says really some line, yeah, he says some phrase that happens to be a horse. So he ends up going along with him on the date because it's just her going around cleaning pools all over town. So you have all these little like weird stories where it's like a father and his kid.
It's almost like she's, I just thought about this, it's almost like, Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Oh, like Dorothy, yeah.
She's going around collecting people and they're helping her.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
Or Puck from like Midsummer Night. I think Midsummer Night's Dream. Is that the one? What like a Shakespeare type character? Where, like,
so they go steal this water out of this lake for $15,000.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
And then there was two times when Ronnie and I were watching where we went, oh, the first time was when they're driving away with the water in the truck. And the valve is open and they're leaking water. We both go, audibly, we're watching this together.
Waiting for something really bad to happen.
Oh! Because, yeah, again, we're still waiting for the shoe to drop.
They're
going to
get back and this mafia guy's going to kill them.
Like, I'm now waiting for, like, we're like, which I'm, like, you know, trying to get at.
And the second time we went, oh! Was when Alyssa Milano's going to have sex with him. And she goes to take her shirt off and then the camera cuts. And we both went, oh! The exact same, oh!
Or when Robert Downey Jr. killed his, the personal, the actor, not the actor, but the extra.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he goes to the funeral and then that family accepts him.
Yeah, that was weird. As their new son.
Because he overacted, because he killed him because he was overacting. Yeah. That's why I said it was like a Werner Herzog character where like, him and Klaus Kinski had a very volatile relationship, and they have pulled guns. The director and the actor have pulled guns on each other on multiple sets.
Oh, wow.
So, like, that's what I felt like he was kind of playing. The guy that played the client in Mandalorian, who wanted to get Grogu, remember him?
Yeah.
He's the one that does, like, he's got the very unique talking voice. And like, they always make fun of him. I'm not doing a good job at all, but that's who I think Downey was
that guy's pulled a gun on people before?
Only on Klaus Kinski.
I kind of like this.
Yeah, you got to look up Klaus Kinski and Werner Herzog's like history. Like, they're fucked up. Let's see. Sean Penn, we got everybody. Yeah. So it's basically slice of life. They're going around seeing all these people. There's that one weird old dude who, like, tries to pay her to, like, get naked or whatever. And it's just her going to different houses, trying to get her money for the day. They end up going to the horse track. They take Patrick Dempsey's character,
the
horse pays off. Like, the one guy, she keeps going, oh, I owe this guy money, and then ends up being like this producer.
That's
like,
thought kind she of was going to get killed because she
he was just
money.
Like a nice old dude. He's like, no, I want you here. Like, it's fine. Like, and she's overselling it to get money from her daughter, and it ends up being just like a kind of fun, nice slice of life. Like, What's her face? Alyssa Milano ends up like falling in love with Patrick Dempsey, and he falls in love with
Werner Herzog. And who's the other guy?
Klaus Kinski, K-L-A-U-S. So she ends up falling in love with him and like spending his last day on earth basically with him, and gets like a dress. He keep talking her into like dressing like a girl, and so she gets the nice dress and all this stuff. And it's just a really kind of nice, and they kind of pick on the ALS in a certain way too, which I feel like if Robert Downey Sr. and his wife were like, just kind of like, let's not traumatize this. It's really, me and Ronnie were watching this waiting for trauma.
Yes.
And there is, the only trauma was. Did y'all
watch this like a long time ago? Or?
A couple months.
They have a documentary together called My Best Friend.
Yeah. Best Fiend.
I'm a best fiend. Oh, shit. That's how much we put our on there.
So, yeah, we kept watching, and I think the trauma release was when, oh, they're losing water. And, oh, yeah. She did, you know.
Or they're going to lose this bet. Or
but, like, they show up at Richard Lewis's house, and he's like, you know what? You're right. I shouldn't have all this water. It's illegal, blah, blah, blah. And so it's like that clears up.
Somebody recognized that the water was no longer in the thing. It's right. Like, you know what? Let's get out of
here. Yeah, they kind of hide it. Yeah. And then.
Oh, it was, what's his name? The wheelchair guy.
Oh, ALS. Yeah. It's Michael. Yeah, Patrick Dempsey's character.
He noticed it, yeah.
And then they, the leprechaun ends up giving the shoes to Malcolm McDonald because he's kind of beat all his demons. And it's really just kind of a weird slice of life, very 90s movie.
Yeah.
Like if I would have seen this in the, I'm surprised I didn't see this in the theater, because it's 100% up my alley of things that I was going to see at this point in time. And it's, what'd you think of it?
I enjoyed it.
It was nice. What other movie we'd see that night? They're both feel good movies.
Jack and Jill.
Jack and Jill.
That's all I'm going. We watched this first, then Jack and Jill, and we're like, oh, those are both fun movies. They're two different speeds for sure.
Listen, her being knocked out by that wheel and Price is Right. I'm sorry.
Echo, stop.
I laughed. I was like, I can't believe I'm laughing at like physical comedy. It's not really my thing, but I just laughed at this. So.
But yeah, Robert Downey Jr., this is at the point like 1997. Yeah, it's like right in the thick of his his rough times.
What do you think about, what's his name, cracking that joke about the high joke at the Oscars?
Some people got mad. Like, I guess him and Kimmel are friendly-ish. I think Kimmel hinted at it, and then he kind of went, oh, it's on the nose.
Did you know about the joke before it, or no?
They say sometimes they do, but I don't know. But then Kimmel kind of went, like, too obvious with it. Like, I thought it was a good tongue-in-cheek joke, and then he kind of went obvious. Oh, are you saying it's on the nose, or is it up the nose? Like, it was like, okay, that was unnecessary. But I think Kimmel, I actually like Kimmel hosting the Oscars. He's not quite like a Billy Crystal, but he's probably the closest.
That Robert, people said Robert Downey Jr. is doing really good in his life right now.
He's so far in doing good, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and he kind of went like, move on. Like my complaint would be that it was too easy of a joke. It was good. And then he went, the line stepped too far and was like, you didn't have to say that.
People want more people that's going to shit on the millionaires. Oh,
people like,
they want, what's his name? What's the British guy that shit on all the, Ricky Gervais.
Ricky Gervais. Oh, yeah.
People like him because they want them to shit.
But they have problems with him, too. So. And then, like, even they say with him making a comment about Poor Things, which I don't know if you have an interest in watching this movie, Poor Things.
Oh, it's on HBO Max now, isn't it?
One of them, Hulu.
I saw
or something.
It somewhere.
I saw
Hulu.
I would like to do that one. I'm curious what you guys would think about that.
I don't want 20 movies in 2 weeks.
No. This is all.
We still got X-Men 97.
Yeah, no. I want to wait till that's done.
We got Ricky Sinicky.
We're going to do that when it's done.
We got Roadhouse.
We got stuff. Yeah, we got stuff. I mean, this is not all next week. Okay, everything I do is a to-do list.
Nick Cage.
This is our to-do list. Dreams. This would be every week. This is a to-do
Secret
list.
Secret Sleeping Dreams.
So.
With Nick Cage.
Yeah.
What the fucking name?
I can't with you. Secret Sleeping
Dream. But ultimately, Tough Turf, Roddy. Would you recommend Tough Turf?
I liked it. I don't know. It puts you in that 80s vibe. But they all
go,
do.
Because even to find it now.
Because even the band, like the band that six,
it's on Amazon.
That saxophone band when they're playing and stuff.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, that whole set is so weird.
Yeah.
Robert Downey Jr. comes in at the end. The girl kisses him and he's like, state of the art. Like, what year does that mean? 85.
Okay.
So we're talking 12 years between that and Hugo Poole for him.
I watched Tough Turf and Amazon recommends Class of 1984 to me.
Yeah.
That's what made me say that. Like,
but Class of 1984 is definitely more dystopic.
What movie? What's the other one? Thrasher?
It's on YouTube.
Thrashing?
Thrashing's almost exactly like Guy from Out of Town, Skateboarding, Can't Be in the Area,
mm-hmm.
Bullies. Mm-hmm. Bullying must have been a heavy, heavy thing in the 80s.
Probably was.
It made money.
Yeah.
Again, all they did, they go, oh, I'm going to spend $1 million and I want to make $5 million. And it meant something back then because everybody was their own thing.
Right.
So, yeah. And then Hugo Pool.
I really like it. It's a feel good movie. Yeah. I liked it a lot. Yeah.
So, all right. I think that's it for these two. We make Splash and Ammonia. Go RDJ Jr.
Surf and turf.
Back to work.
No.
Thanks for completing this course. For more lessons, follow the Film School Janitors on Instagram and Facebook under Film School Janitors and on Twitter under FS Janitors. Please rate and review this podcast wherever you may have found it, and feel free to email us at filmschooljanitors@gmail.com. Now get back to your studies.